the Al-Ansar Bookshop for all your Islamic books, CDs, DVDs, and other items specially brought in for Ramadan. We are open 7 days a week during our broadcast. You'll find us at 189 West Road, Overport. For all your inquiries, contact Hussein Sheikh on 208-1601. The Al-Ansar Bookshop.
Do you want to be a part of the unique initiative? By being a part of our listeners' forum, we are looking for individuals in the community who can assist us by monitoring our programs and giving us constructive suggestions. A meeting will be held at Radio Al-Ansar 189 West Road, Overport on Saturday the 5th of September at 2 p.m. All people interested must please attend this meeting where the forum will be formed. For more info, contact Riaz Jamal after 4 p.m. at Al-Ansar on 031-208-1601.
Durban's only Islamic radio station.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله we will continue the discussion on Zakah. Allah Jalla Majdahu says clearly in Quran al-Karim in about 32 places together with Salah that Zakat has to be given, and the emphasis on Zakat is to improve the whole financial situation of the Muslim world. Zakat, as I have explained, was made partially obligatory in Makkah al-Mukarramah, but the details came down in Madinah al-Munawwarah. Remember, in Makkah, the emphasis was on Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat. And that's why the invitation to Islam was on individual basis, and there was individual effort going on. The Muslims were cut off from the society in Makkah al-Mukarramah and were segregated. After the Hijrah to Medina, the Muslims now became more organized. A state developed. A sense of identity came into existence. Then what was the requirement of the time in Medina was to have a proper Islamic system now. When we look at the history of Madinatul Munawwarah, immediately when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came there, he organized the Muslims socially, politically, and economically. Immediately when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came there, there were three places already where Salat was going to start taking place. One was in Masjid al-Quba. Masjid al-Quba, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he entered into Medina, he constructed. And 14 days later, he made Jummah in what is called today the Jummah Masjid. And immediately after that, he went inside where today the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there, and the construction after the purchase of the land from Sahel and Suhail, he started constructing Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So within a short period of 2 weeks, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put up three places where ibadat, where salat is going to take place, where meeting is going to take place, where congregation is going to take place, where Muslims are going to gather. See, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into Madinatul Munawwarah, then there were about 500 who came to meet him. That means at Quba, there were about 500 who came to meet him. And the first Jummah in Jummah Masjid, which is even today it's called also Jummah Masjid, when you go from Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find, especially when you're walking, the Jummah Masjid, and 400-500 meters away, then you'd get Masjid al-Quba. The first Jummah was attended by about 100, historically speaking. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he moves and constructs the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very simple way. But what he has done here, he has created some social infrastructure where Sahaba can meet, talk, discuss. And then we know that during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Madinatul Munawwara, besides Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were 9 other masjids, 9 other masajids existing during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masjid al-Qiblatain, etc. The list is in a kitab called Abu Dawud, and the point I'm making is that immediately he comes, he makes a social internet, interwoven society. Then, to politically, immediately Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and what he does, he creates a pact between the Christians, the Jews, the Muslims, and the rebellious ones. This is documented. In fact, Morana Professor Muhammad Hamidullah, the late professor from Paris, he has written one very small kitab, valuable, most valuable kitab, called First Written Constitution of the World, wherein he documents all the clauses between the Muslims and the rest of Madinatul Munawwara. So here Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam creates a political base and a political springboard. Thirdly, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he is going to stabilize the economics of the area. We have to understand that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, divinely appointed, and what a personality, looking at everything of Sharia. So what? To establish the system of zakah, so that now the poor, the needy, they become established. We know, alhamdulillah, there are many, many virtues of zakat, because zakat provides that person becomes subservient and subordinate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we have various forms of ibadat. In some form of ibadat, salat, zakat, hajj. So, we have certain times spending of money as an ibadat. Certain times, the spending of the health and time and energy as ibadat. And certain times, both are involved. Now, that discussion leads us to the salat is the most superior form of ibadat. Because in salah, the person is making sacrifice of body, of wealth, of time, of energy. And in zakah, it is basically an ibadah to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is displaying subserviency, submission to the will and order of Allah. Then what happens? We win Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and His honor by spending of wealth. Now when the giver of zakat, he is supporting and he is serving the needs of the underprivileged. And by giving zakat, then the ailment which has been spoken about in the hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated about hubb mal, love for wealth. Because love for wealth is one of the major causes of disaster, distress, social disorder, greed, jealousy, hatred. You will see it rotating around the love for the wealth. Also, the objective of zakat is that Islam is perfect and simple and easy. Islam does not desire that all the wealth and the riches, they come only to one group of people. Islam does not want the rich to become richer and the poor to become poorer, and there will be a non-existence of the middle class. But Islam wants the wealth to spread, and no special group of people must become wealthy. Currently, if you look at world politics linked to economics, you will find major cities of the world being controlled by a handful of wealthy, stinking wealthy, rich, affluent people who do not fear Allah Ta'ala, who got no relationship to serve the community, who only amass and hoard and accumulate wealth. And then you will get people in the world. That is why you have these days listings going on, 20 rich people of the world, 10 rich people of the world, 5 richest most people of the world. This competition leads to the people having money rotated in the hands of few. Countries where there are wealthy people who control the politics of the area, whilst majority of the population, they're living in scum, they're living in squalor, they're living without basic food, shelter, clothing necessities. But Islam wants, via zakat, via charity, that the wealth be distributed so that no group can call the political agenda. That's why now, as soon as Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Madinatul Munawwara, he established the institute of zakat, kafara, sadqatul fitr, fidya, and also started constructing the inheritance system. The inheritance system to ensure that for the first time now, the female is going to get money, become owner of property, and also get legally from the estate of the deceased, which was unheard of during that time, that the female is now going to get money or going to get property from the estate of the deceased. So Islamic system is catering for each individual. Now, when the eyes of an individual closes, the wealth which was gathered in one place is now Islamically distributed amongst many. This ensures that the wealth remains fairly distributed amongst the members of the society, and no one is deprived of his or her share. If we look at the Islamic system, then one scholar, he created a few words, and he said that the non-Islamic system can be summarized in two words, and the Islamic system can be summarized in two words. He said that this syndrome, there is a work-play syndrome in non-Islamic situations. If you look at non-Islamic ideologies, philosophy, if you look at non-Islamic cultures, civilization, if you look at today, just look around, the un-Islamic, non-Islamic situation and scenario is rotating around two words, work and play. And carefully, if you look at the 24-hour life of a person who has got no contact with Allah Jalla Majdahu, and if a person who is not believing in Allah, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Akhirat, who is not making ibadat, who is just working, and you will find this same ideology now creeping into Muslim homes, Muslim firms, and Muslim wealthy people or non-wealthy too, they're getting into this habit. You will see the person get up and whole day he will be working. He'll be amassing wealth, running after the world, buying, selling, wheeling, dealing, and exploiting his business acumen to the hilt. Understand something, I'm not saying that business is haram. There's too much barakah in business. Many kitabs have been written on the fazail of business. We have now translated one book called How Businessmen Can Go to Jannah. So there's a lot of benefit of business. Because if the businessman makes good, halal, wholesome sustenance and spends it on important, valuable Islamic ventures, then we'll have khair, goodness and barakah in our Islamic institutes, darulums, Oqaf properties, and every Muslim valid authentic institute can benefit from the wealth and the generosity of the businessman. But what happens, the businessman, if he loses focus, that no, I cannot work, I have to go for Fajr, I have to go for Zuhr, I have to break and go for Asr, not forgetting that Maghrib and Isha, not forgetting I have to worry about the poor and the needy and the destitute and the wayfarer. So the person is working and working whole day and night. Then when the person comes home, the next focus is how the person can play. And the Western world has created so many avenues for an average person, a wealthy person, to waste his time and energy and money in playing. That is why you will find that the person is working, then he will go, come back home, eat hurriedly, no prime time with his family, no social valuable time with his family. The person is gone to play. The person is gone to play indoor soccer, gone to play indoor cricket, gone to play the badminton and tennis, and he's gone now, one day of the week he's gone to play golf, and the person is playing football and cricket. So many things the Western world is giving this fellow to do, that if you summarize his life, it is he's working, and then he is playing around. He's playing with his akhirat, he's playing and wasting his life away, playing, and how shaitan tells a person, no, you have to keep fit. You have to be a very fit man. That's why you must play this sport and the other sport. And if you look and do a proper survey, you'll find most of these so-called keep fit fanatics who are playing these sports to keep them fit, they are the ones more on the operating tables in the doctor's surgery and doing the rounds on the specialist. Now, another deception is created that they say, no, you have to be fit. And as a Muslim, and the hadith is quoted to substantiate, a strong Muslim is better than a weak Muslim. And what they say, no, we're preparing for jihad. What jihad is this? The person can't get up and go for Fajr Salat. Person can't get up and go for Zuhr, Maghrib, Isha and say, no, I'm preparing for jihad. And when jihad is going to take place, are the circumstances for jihad? And these very people who are running, who are jumping, and who are doing all these various sports, they are suffering from backache, knee injuries, ankle injuries, going for this injection and that therapy and that massage and that medical attention. And when you tell the person, see, forget jihad, go out a little bit in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go out for 3 days or 10 days or 40 days, the person says, no, see, I am not well, I am sick, I've got this pain and I've got that pain, and you know, I cannot stand too long, you know, I cannot walk too long, and you know, I cannot carry my luggage, and hundreds of excuses which are astounding to hear. So the ideology, un-Islamic ideology, in two words, is work and work until you are tired, and then come back and so-called play. This very same ideology is coming into the Muslim world. Unfortunately, that is why so much of unnecessary money is spent on sports, and so much of time and energy that the fellow got no time for his salah, for his ibadat, for his family, and then he wants to know why his family is breaking, why the houses are breaking, why divorce is taking place. Because the fellow, when he comes back, then instead of spending prime time at home, he's running to play this sport and that sport, and leaving again his wife alone. So what she decides also, I must also join some club. I also must go gymnasium. I also must go for some indoor sport. I also must go and waste money and waste time and energy. And Shaitan puts this thing very nicely that no, the facilities are there, amenities are there, and you know, this is all Shari compliant. In our age, this word Shari compliant is being grossly misused. Every other thing is Shari compliant. Use the word Shari compliancy and bring some Moranas behind this Shari compliancy certificate and make absolute haram halal under the guise of Shari compliancy. Now Islam can be summarized in two words. Just like we have got non-Islamic ideology and philosophy divided into work and play, now Islam, we will divide or make it into two words, pay, meaning pay, pray. Pray and pay. Now if you look, as soon as the person is born, then what we are doing? We are calling azan and ikama. What do we call it towards? We call it towards salah, prayer. And as soon as the person, before even the sun rises, the Muslim supposed to be praying. He's supposed to be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at our whole 24 hours, how it is designed. That every two and a half hours, a Muslim supposed to be praying and pleasing and honoring and respecting Allah Jalla Majdahu, so that he receives dignity and honor in all the worlds. So the Muslim, what he gets is, makes his fajr, then within short period he's making his zuhur salat, and then alhamdulillah asr, and then maghrib, then isha, and then closing up with witr. Now if you look, that short period, so that he does not become neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person is reminded, commanded, the injunctions are in place, that pray, all the time pray. Now, if you look, that of all the recommended recitations, you will find that it is designed again so that a person must be constantly praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at regular intervals without becoming too much of a extremist. See, after Fajr, the person is in Surah Yasin, so that his whole day goes properly. Then, before the Fajr, there are sunnahs. Before the Zuhur, there are sunnahs. And after, there are sunnahs. Before the Asr, there are sunnahs. And before, after the Maghrib, there are sunnat. And before and after the Isha, there is sunnat and witr. So all the sunnah salat to help the person focus on the faraz. Then the various small recitations after every faraz salat, seeing the person pray. Then before retiring to bed, reading Surah Waqia, reading the Surah Mulk and Sijda, etc., so that the person reads Quran Kareem. He is in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Thursday night to read Surah Dukhan, Friday to read Surah Kaf, all have been stipulated so that the link of to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is done via prayer. And the person is encouraged now that he must make Quran tilawat. Come months like Ramadan, alhamdulillah, that the person is making extra Quran tilawat. Then to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make tasbihat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Encouragement in the hadith for increase of recitation of Durood Sharif. Provided the Durood is authentic, reliable, proven, then come Jummah, the person is encouraged read more. To read individual tasbihat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, for the young and for the old. For those who have difficulty in making Quran tilawat, to read the tasbihat, to make istighfar, to make tawbah, to read the Rabbanas, to read now all these wazaifs, and to pray all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a sharia that is all the time designed so that we constantly focus that Allah is watching us, that Allah is our guide, and Allah is the one we have to please. Therefore, that when you get up, the dua to get up. Going to toilet, the dua. Coming out of the toilet, dua. Eating, starting dua. If you forget the dua, finish, then there is dua. When you're meeting someone, dua, handshake, and monica. And when you go into the bazaar, dua. When you come out of the bazaar, dua. When you go in the masjid, dua. Come out of the masjid, dua. And when you go for a journey, there is dua. And when you're in the journey, dua. So if you look, that sunrise dua, sunset dua, moon sighting dua, eating of the new fruit dua, the duas, if you go to our website, alislam.co.za, you'll find whole kitab, masnoon duas, all the duas for various occasions. So that what? We are praying all the time. Short duas, so that we are constantly reminded that I am not an animal on the street, that I am servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am not an animal let loose. I am servant of Allah with certain laws. I am not an animal to do whatever I want. No, I am servant of Allah that I've got a code of conduct. And this code of conduct is rotating around praying. So from subah sham, from morning, evening, they are going to bed now, dua, and to read the certain surahs and then go and sleep away. All this is why? So that the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be distracted. And the servant of Allah will know that I am here for a purpose. And I am here with a guideline. I am here so that I can please Allah Jalla Majdahu. Now I told you the two words for Muslim ideology, for Islamic philosophy, for Islamic civilization and culture rotates around that we pray and pay. Pay, if you look at our whole economical system, that the person, first of all, there is so much of encouragement in giving charity and zakah. And we're talking about zakah. This is a diversion that we're making to explain that Islam is that system that is catering for the poor and the needy practically, not by passing resolutions and passing decrees that we are going to help. No, these are practical systems that the person must pay. If you look at a Muslim, that first of all, zakat obligatory. Meaning this is not something that you can do or you should do or you may do, or if you desire then you can do it, or if you have an inclination then you can do it. No such thing. If you are wealthy, which we have discussed in our first session, what wealth means, what assets means, how you calculate your zakat, then once you classify and qualify as a zakat payer, then there is no question of we should do it or I may do it. No, the command is there now. It's obligatory, it's mandatory that you have to do it. And because you have to do it, the poor will have to, inshallah, sooner or later benefit. So you got zakat. Then encouragement so much for giving voluntary, optional, nafil charity, which we call lillah. From the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll find sahaba. That's why famous kitab of Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah alayhi, Fazail al-Sadaqat, where you'll find so many encouraging and astounding incidents and events and stories of how sahaba spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stories are so numerous that a whole volume has come out of the attitude and of the practicality of sahaba who spent in the path of Allah. Spending to such an extent that leaving nothing at home, spending half their wealth, quarter of their wealth, spending literally hundreds or thousands of the dirham and dirham and dinar, and spending to such an extent